From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Robert Siegel. This past weekend, a dozen indie rock bands assembled in New York to honor some of the artists who pioneered indie rock. The occasion was the 10th anniversary of a book, one that became a Bible for independent musicians. NPR's Dawood Tyler Amin reports.
My first summer out of college, I picked up a copy of this book that some friends had been urging me to read for years. It was all about these obscure rock bands from 30 years ago. And it was an uninviting 500 pages long. But halfway into the opening chapter about the California hardcore punk band Black Flag, I was hooked. Our Band Could Be Your Life is a history lesson on the beginnings of indie rock, long before it was even called that. It tells the stories of a dozen bands who found modest but dedicated audiences without the aid of major record labels, like San Pedro, California's Minutemen, whose song History Lesson Part 2 gave the book its name.
Our band could be your life. Real names be proved. Me and Mike Watt, we played for years. Punk rock changed our lives.
Michael Lazared wrote the book.
Our Band Could Be Your Life has been out for 10 years, but in the past maybe 3 years, I haven't been able to go out to an indie rock show without someone in the audience or someone in a band walking up to me and telling me they were inspired to do what they do by reading it.
One of the people inspired by the book is Ronan Gavoni. He founded the new music series Wordless Music in New York City.
I told everyone from the deans of Juilliard and the Manhattan School of Music, I almost feel like it should be required freshman reading because the example of punk rock, of just being not content to let other people create your career for you. That is really what all young musicians need to learn.
It's what Patrick Stickles, who fronts the New Jersey punk band Titus Andronicus, says he learned when he read Our Band Could Be Your Life as a teenager.
That was a really empowering thing for a young kid like me to learn that all these supposedly legendary groups were just people just like me and my friends who were just doing their thing in their own communities with their own resources. Made me dream of someday hopefully getting to do that.
Titus Andronicus performed songs by one of the best-known acts in the book, The Replacements, at last night's concert in New York. Also represented, Big Black. The band was founded in 1981 by Steve Albini.
I prided myself on the fact that my band never undertook a tour where we didn't make money. You accomplish things by working within your means and by keeping as much control of your own existence as possible.
Albini says underground music and culture existed long before the period covered in the book, roughly 1981 to 1991, and that it continues today. But there was something about those years that caused people to take notice.
That was the period during which the independent bands and labels got their sea legs and established a solid foundation for all of the other independent artists to work with.
Big Black's music was performed at last night's show by an unlikely successor, St. Vincent. The Brooklyn Pop Ensemble is led by 28-year-old Annie Clark.
I first heard Big Black in probably 98, and one of the things that got me first was just the guitar playing. It's just like lacerating guitar and this noise and this thing that kind of expresses, you know, for lack of a better word, all of your suburban angst and rage, and it's kind of physically painful in a really wonderful way.
Clark says her career and those of her peers have been a lot easier, thanks to the hard work of Albini and others.
There just weren't that many people on the playing field, so you really had to be committed to the task. And I think that technology has made making music very democratic. I think that's wonderful in a lot of ways, but I think you sometimes encounter an attitude of, oh yeah, well, I'll be in a band for a few years and then I'll do data entry or something. But those guys really were lifers, and I think that's really admirable.
Someone like Annie Clark is not making any compromises in her music. She's doing exactly what she wants, and she's found an infrastructure that will allow her to do that.
An infrastructure that Michael Azarad says didn't exist in the 80s. Online music stores, a network of small venues, and the attention of the mainstream, thanks in part to breakthrough bands like Nirvana. But Steve Albini says there are plenty of things that haven't changed.
For band members, being in a band still has all of the same hassles and problems that it had 30 years ago. You know, you need to find a place to practice. Somebody has to come up with a van if you want to play out of town. This guy's girlfriend doesn't like the guitar player. I don't know that the experience of being in a band is ever really going to change.
Except that for the past 10 years, there's been a manual. A book that demonstrates how fledgling musicians can build a thriving community all by themselves. Daoud Tyler Amin, NPR News.